range of how people are responding, so it's challenging to know whether you have it or not, says infectious disease expert Morgan Katz, MD, and assistant professor of medicine at Johns Hopkins Medicine. While the symptoms of COVID-19 can range from non-existent, about 40% of cases are asymptomatic, to deadly, anything in between can look like a common cold or the flu, says Gary Leroy, MD, president of the American Academy of Family Physicians. The three illnesses start similarly. Cold, flu, and COVID-19 are caused by viruses that enter your system when you inhale droplets or aerosols, or less commonly, touch a surface with a live virus on it, and then your nose, eyes, or mouth. One difference, colds and other mild viruses tend to stay in the upper respiratory tract, but more severe flu viruses and COVID-19 can go into the lungs, causing life-threatening complications. Making self-diagnosis even trickier, people can react to the same virus in different ways, depending on factors such as their ages, gender, and underlying conditions. If you're a diabetic and catch a cold, it can present differently than in someone who is not diabetic, even if you live in the same household, and catch the exact same virus, as Dr. Leroy. Two healthy people in a household can come down with COVID-19, and one may have nothing more than a headache, while the other could be hospitalized with pneumonia. If you have symptoms of any type, call your doctor, who can advise you as to whether you should be tested for COVID-19. In July, the FDA approved a multiplex test that looks for flu and COVID-19 with a single swab, making testing more efficient. But no matter what's causing your aches, pains, and sniffles, experts urge you to act with caution. If you feel ill, don't gamble that it will go away, says Dr. Leroy. Given the nature of the time we're living in, assume it's the flu or COVID-19 and stay home. Err on the side of caution until you know what you have. Common cold. Typical symptoms. A cold will hit you mostly from the neck up. Think cough, sore throat, stuffy or runny nose, and clogged ears. You might feel tired, but you probably won't run a fever. Most of us have had enough winter colds that we know the symptoms we usually present with, says Dr. Leroy. If something feels very different, that's a tip-off something else might be going on. Common colds usually burn themselves out in about a week, says Dr. Leroy. That's all the time that we have for that article. And that article was, Is It a Cold or Is It COVID? By Marisa Cohen. That concludes today's reading of Prevention Magazine for December 1st, 2020. This has been Herbert Gilmore for the Georgia Radio Reading Service. Thank you for listening to GARS.
Now, here's your forecast for the Midland-Odessa area. It's 55 and clear. Tonight, clear with a low in the upper 40s. Then, tomorrow, partly cloudy with a high in the low 60s. Tomorrow night, clear with a low in the low 50s. From the Recording Library of West Texas 24-Hour Weather Center, I'm Maria Lopez.
This is the Recording Library of West Texas. It's 6 a.m.
Welcome to this week's reading of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American Sunday Business and Oil Sections, read by volunteers and staff. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
Hello, I'm Jesse. I'm reading from the oil report of the Midland Reporter-Telegram for Sunday, December 6th. Workforce trends. Tipro report finds upward trend in energy hiring. The story was written by Mella McEwen. Energy workers across the state have been hard hit this year by the double whammy of the COVID-19 pandemic and the oil market crash. Texas Independent Producers and Royalty Owners Association said there are a number of career opportunities across the industry. The association cites those opportunities in its just-issued Texas Oil and Natural Gas Industry Hiring and Workforce Trends Report. Covering employment trends for September and October, the report includes data from the U.S. Bureau of Labor Statistics Current Employment Statistics Report. Upstream employment in Texas rose by 1,500 jobs in September and 600 in October after six consecutive months of decline. Quote, "The oil and natural gas industry offers a wide array of employment opportunities, including those that require little to no experience, to some of the most sophisticated and technical positions in the U.S. economy across all industry sectors, Tipro President Ed Longenecker told Reporter Telegram by email. Quote, Tipro's new report and analysis reflects the diversity of employment opportunities in this industry, regardless of market conditions, end quote. In September and October, there were 58,280 total job postings for the Texas oil and natural gas industry. Of those, 7,917 were unique, according to data collected by Tipro. These numbers extended a posting intensity of 7 to 1, meaning that for every 7 postings, there was one unique job listing. This was close to the posting intensity for all other occupations and companies in the state at 6 to 1, indicating average effort toward hiring for these positions. Meanwhile, there were 26,922 total job postings for the Texas upstream sector from September to October, of which 3,429 were unique. These numbers show a posting intensity of 8 to 1. This is higher than the posting intensity for all other occupations and companies in the region at 6 to 1, typically indicating that employers may be trying harder to hire for positions in the sector, according to the report. Quote, the posting intensity in the upstream sector typically indicates a higher degree of difficulty in filling those positions, which could be related to many different factors, including, but not limited to, a recent increase in industry activity and more immediate need for additional talent, thus necessitating a more aggressive recruitment effort across many different platforms, Longenecker said. Information collected by Tipro in its report is used to advance legislative, regulatory, educational, and workforce-related initiatives for the benefit of the oil and natural gas industry and the Texas economy. Quote, while there are currently no pending proposals in the legislature, maintaining awareness of the unprecedented economic contributions provided by the Texas oil and gas industry and need to support long-term workforce needs are critical, Longenecker wrote. Continuing the quote, Tipro will continue to focus on industry workforce development efforts by promoting existing training programs, facilities, and related resources, and working with the Texas legislature and state agencies to advance policy initiatives that will help support long-term workforce needs. These efforts are ongoing, and Tipro will maintain them as a top priority with all stakeholders, end quote. In a statement announcing the release of the report, Brent Hopkins, chairman of Tipro and chief executive officer of Sumauer Energy, said, quote, as the industry continues to recover, ensuring access to a qualified workforce will be essential to its future, as the industry will have to overcome two significant hurdles from an employment perspective. First, the combination of an ill-conceived price war, followed by the market destruction of the COVID-19 pandemic, has driven a large number of the baby boomer generation out of the industry, many of which will not return, thus expediting the great crew change that was already underway. Secondly, the perception of a hydrocarbon-free future has driven enrollment at the university level in disciplines critical to our industry to new lows. Just to recover to the levels of production Texas achieved at the end of 2019 will require a lot of additional manpower and, more importantly, gray matter, end quote. Highlights from Tipro's employment analysis. The top 5 cities where the employment opportunities were most concentrated for industry jobs included Houston, 2,571, San Antonio, 386, Midland, 377, Odessa, 360, and Dallas, 244. The top 5 industry sectors by unique job postings included petroleum refineries, 1,608, crude petroleum extraction, 1,605, oil and gas field machinery and equipment manufacturing, 991, support activities for oil and gas operations, 936, and drilling oil and gas wells, 866. The top five hard skills for unique job posting included oil and gas, 964, accounting, 807, auditing, 798, personal protection equipment, 667, and merchandising, 627. The top five common skills for unique job postings included communications, 3,354, operations, 2,705, management, 2,287, customer service, 1,803, and sales, 1,682. The top five qualifications for unique job postings included commercial driver's license, CDL, 351, Master of Business Administration, MBA, 158, Bachelor of Science in Business, 135, Tanker Endorsement, 115, and Transportation Worker Identification Credential, TWIC card, 107. 2,924 unique positions required a bachelor's degree. 2,771 positions required a high school diploma or GED. 672 positions required an associate degree, 571 master's degree, and 162 PhD or professional degree. 3,130 unique positions posted no prior experience required, followed by 1,822 with 2 to 3 years, 1,391 with 4 to 6 years, 943 with 0 to 1 years, 322 with 7 to 9 years, and 309 with 10 plus years of experience required. Unique Texas oil and gas job postings declined by 4,640 between January and October of 2020. Unraveling tangled energy narrative requires critical thinking. The story was written by Mella McEwen. A number of pressures are weaving the nation's energy narrative into a ball, making it difficult to know which direction to follow. Attempting to unravel that narrative, the Texas Independent Producers and Royalty Owners Association hosted Scott Tinker, director of the Bureau of Economic Geology at the University of Texas at Austin. Quoting Aristotle, quote, "It is the mark of an educated mind to be able to entertain a thought without accepting it," Tinker said that philosophy is important to today's energy narrative. Quote, "He's talking about critical thinking," he said. "Energy, the environment, and the economy are so intertwined," Tinker said. "They impact everything from climate change to education, gender equity, health care, housing, hunger, to immigration, and even war." Tinker, who has traveled the globe helping bring energy to developing communities, said the understanding that energy will help the world's poor is warranted. He estimated there are over 1 billion people globally without access to electricity, and a third of the world's population doesn't have access to clean cooking. Smoke inhalation from burning wood for cooking, light, and warmth kills 3 million people a year, Tinker said. Quote, "What poor countries want to do is industrialize like we have, but not utilize as much as we do," he said, noting that his refrigerator uses 9 times as much energy as a person in Ethiopia uses each year. But the call is there to greatly reduce, if not completely eliminate, the use of fossil fuels, replacing them with renewable energy. Tinker said some people have voiced a goal of 98% of the world's energy coming from renewables by the year 2100. Quote, Some say it should happen by 2040, he said. Quote, really? I worry people believe that's possible or even think it's a good idea. End quote. Critical thinking about renewables needs to include the fact that all energy sources impact the environment, even renewables, he said. Tinker said that the massive amounts of wind turbines and solar panels needed to meet the global energy demand would require extensive mining of the rare earths and minerals required to build the turbines and panels. And then, he said, there's the amount of land needed to house the turbines and panels, and then issues with their disposal after they cease to function. Through improved efficiency, North America and Europe have flattened their electric demand and, as a result, emissions. Tinker said the greatest amount of emissions comes from China and non-China Asia. If China were to adopt America's coal-to-natural gas ratio, he said that would improve 2.8 gigatons of carbon dioxide from the atmosphere annually. Tinker recommended increased use of natural gas, more carbon capture, use, and storage, improved nuclear technology, coal with CCUS technology, geothermal and hydropower, and centralized wind power distribution like Texas has, as more environmentally friendly energy mixes. The key will be healthy economies, he said. Quote, a healthy economy lets you invest in the environment, he said. The dirtiest environments in the world are in the poorest countries. You can't imagine the level of environmental impact poverty brings. End quote. That has been his focus as he has spread his message around the globe. Quote, I want to make sure economies are healthy enough that they can clean up their environment. That's what's been missing from the conversation, he said. North Dakota firm opens expanded Midland facility. The story was written by Mella McEwen. Despite the current economic climate facing the Permian Basin, one company is celebrating its expansion in Midland. Steffes has opened a new, larger facility at 2908 East County Road 117 in Midland. Quote, we've been in Midland for about 5 years now. We had a smaller yard and service area, Kyle Steffes, national sales manager, said in a phone interview. Steffes now has a larger inventory yard, office space for the sales and service team, and space for future manufacturing capabilities. Quote, the guys love the extra space for inventory and service, Steffes said. We've also been doing some light manufacturing, assembling of products, end quote. Steffes, headquartered in Dickinson, North Dakota, specializes in designing and manufacturing surface equipment for the oil and gas industry, including flares, separation equipment, containment, walkway, vapor recovery units, pressure regulating blowers, and other equipment for vapor control, as well as an extensive line of oil field accessories. In addition to the Permian, the company is active in the Powder River, Bakken, Anadarko, and Eagle Ford. Steffes said the idled facility will provide service to the entire Permian Basin, while its inventory will also find its way into Eagle Ford fields. Opening the new facility is a signal that Steffes is committed to the Permian Basin long term, he said, and that has helped the company strengthen its relationships with area customers. He sees rising demand for high-efficiency equipment, including equipment that captures fugitive emissions. The pressure-regulating blowers the company offers will monitor and regulate emissions. Quote, operators are trying to get construction engineering out of the field and into a professional manufacturing setting so that the equipment is manufactured the same and lead times are the same, Steffes said. That leads to more consistency in the manufacturing process, he said. One advancement Steffes sees in his field is more destruction of volatile organic compounds in the event operators do have to flare natural gas. He said he has seen that efficiency rise from 90% to 98%, and new designs are being approved for 99% efficiency. Quote, We're helping operators not just in their current operations. That's where we get our ideas, he said. We get out in the field with the operators, see what they need, and that's where we get our ideas. With our engineering capability and metal manufacturing, we will grow the company with those ideas. End quote. Fish and Wildlife Service seeks comment on application to benefit Dunes sagebrush lizard. Comments are now being taken on an enhancement of survival permit application and draft environmental assessment for the Dunes sagebrush lizard found in the Chinnery Oak Dunes of the Permian Basin. The Fish and Wildlife Service, which is accepting public comments until December 21st, said the application is supported by a draft candidate conservation agreement with assurances designed to achieve a net conservation benefit for the lizard. Quote, we're very pleased the service is taking this important step, Ben Shepard, president of the Permian Basin Petroleum Association, said in a phone interview. Quote, the PBPA has a long track record of success with the Fish and Wildlife Service, balancing the need for conservation and production. End quote. The association's efforts are serious because there's a lot at stake, he said. Quote, as you know, environmentalists like nothing more than to use the Endangered Species Act to bash us. End quote. Shepard said the PBPA has been working with the service on feedback and will provide comment during the 30-day period. The end of the comment period will come 30 days before a new administration takes office in Washington, he said. Quote, I don't know what the Fish and Wildlife Service will decide ultimately, but I do know this administration has supported partnership-based conservation, private-public partnerships, he said. I feel like it's a good sign we have these documents out for comment, end quote. Shepard said he hopes the final product will allow for conservation of the lizard while also allowing oil and gas activities to continue. The enhancement of survival permit, now out for public comment, is an example of permits issued to non-federal landowners participating in a CCAA. The permit would cover incidental take of the Dunes sagebrush lizard associated with oil and gas exploration and development, sand mining, renewable energy development and operations, pipeline construction and operations, local government activities, agricultural activities, and general construction activities within the CCAA permit area that could affect suitable habitat. The enhancement of survival permit application proposes to authorize the development of 34,000 acres of suitable Dunes sagebrush lizard habitat over the next several decades in Andrews, Crane, Ector, Gaines, Ward, and Winkler counties. These agreements encourage landowners to take actions to benefit these species while also providing assurances that they will not be subject to additional regulatory restrictions for the life of the permit. If approved, the requested permit would become effective and authorize incidental take of the Dunes sagebrush lizard should it become federally listed during the life of the permit and CCAA under the Endangered Species Act of 1973. The permit would remain in effect for up to 23 years until the CCAA's expiration date or until surrendered by the permittee unless it is suspended or revoked by the service.
Hi, this is Linda. I'm reading the Odessa American for Sunday, December 6th, 2020. Neither Nor by Dennis Elam, assistant professor at Texas A&M San Antonio and a 1966 graduate of Andrews High School. Brent crude may be overhauled to reflect the growing importance of U.S. exports in global energy markets. By March 2022, S&P Global Platts will start using crude produced near Midland in settling the price of Dated Brent. Brent has been the international standard for pricing produced in the North Sea. Now that area is more marketplace than a production area. Both Chevron and ExxonMobil will slash spending the next few years. Chevron will drop from $19 to $22 billion to more than like $14 to $16 billion. Exxon has lost $2.3 billion so far this year. It will reduce capital spending $5 to $10 billion through 2025. Exxon had bet on expanded demand for carbon-based fuel that is turning out to be a bad bet. OPEC and Russia are planning to expand production. This Friday morning, West Texas Intermediate has pushed to just over $46. The fallout from COVID is far from over. Southwest Airlines told 6,800 employees their jobs are at risk. This is in contrast to the cheery announcements that LUV was using the pandemic to enter new markets. This would be the first job furlough in Southwest operating history. The tourist and convention business in San Antonio is not expected to recover for 3 years. Hilton could not make its bond payment on the downtown 1,000-room hotel. By previous agreement, the city of San Antonio will have to step in and do so. Warner Films will release all of its 2021 films in both theaters and on HBO Max streaming service. Studios are struggling to retain viewers for projects already completed pre-virus. In a related matter, AMC Entertainment, the world's largest theater chain, seeks to sell $700 million in stock. It is trying to avoid a debt default and then bankruptcy. GM dropped its plan to purchase part of Nikola, the would-be electric truck maker. GM also gave up fighting California fuel requirements with the Biden election. Last week, this column was titled Either Or. We speculated the markets were topping as numerous measures had hit the mark of previous peaks, but OR prevailed, and markets top DJIA 30,000 again this morning. Neither nor suggests we still lack real resolution for the markets. As mentioned, a great deal turns on the January Georgia Senate dual runoff. Trump will campaign in Georgia this Saturday. Will he focus on the race or himself? Economist Professor Walter Williams taught his last class and then passed away at age 84 this week. He was the rare conservative person of color in that field. Listening to his exchange with friend Thomas Sowell while sitting in for Rush Limbaugh was a classic academic adventure. Blessed with a dry sense of humor and plenty of insight into liberal dogma, he will be missed. The Economist. Holiday shopping shift for retailers amid pandemic. By M. Ray Perryman. Like most industries, retailers are struggling to deal with the pandemic. While it may be a decent year for spending, it looks quite different with a holiday shopping season the likes of which we have never seen. Black Friday mall crowds were only about half of the usual levels, and store visits will be down significantly for the season. Curbside and in-store pickup options have taken on new importance, offering greater safety than crowded aisles and checkout lines. Not surprisingly, online purchasing was up substantially over the Black Friday weekend and surged to a daily record on Cyber Monday. When a longer period of time is considered, spending patterns are even more promising. It remains to be seen, however, how the totals for the season ultimately unfold. There are signs that shoppers have been buying earlier, partially in response to warnings that deliveries could be delayed near Christmas. Moreover, despite the cyber surge, overall sales for the traditional beginning of the season are well below prior years. From a retailer's perspective, online purchases can involve additional costs. Shoppers often expect free shipping and can easily compare offers. Handling and packaging expenses also eat into profits. Much of what is occurring represents an escalation of trends that were already ongoing. For example, the proportion of online sales has been growing for years, but safety concerns accelerated the pace. Brick-and-mortar stores remain important, but many have long been shifting focus toward online. Major investments in both the functionality and aesthetics of remote experiences have enhanced consumer perceptions and hence purchases. Consumers are also becoming more cognizant of the social and environmental character of retail organizations. Corporate responses to COVID-19 were carefully watched for their effects on suppliers, shippers, and workers. Those whose approaches were viewed favorably were more likely to be supported by customers. Some of the changes necessitated by the pandemic will no doubt remain. Supply chain management and ensuring availability will be emphasized. Inventory practices will be revamped. More and better curbside and contactless delivery and payment systems are likely part of the new normal. Conversely, many shoppers want to see, feel, and touch their purchases and talk face-to-face with purveyors. Retailers will also need to innovate to support such preferences once the pandemic abates. As with most businesses, retailers have made major adjustments in 2020. If the positive signals regarding imminent availability of vaccines and therapeutics come to fruition, there could well be a surge of purchasing as pent-up demand is released. Simultaneously, the lack of a stimulus package is causing some households to become increasingly financially distressed. The bottom line for retailers is yet to be determined.